Russell Wilson is heading to the Pittsburgh Steelers with the hope he can revive his career. What about you and I? Are we in need of revival and restoration when it comes to our faith in Jesus? Let's unpack it. Welcome to the Unpacking It podcast, where we unpack parallels, metaphors, and topics in sports that relate to life and faith. I'm Bryce Johnson in Charlotte, North Carolina, joined in studio today by guest co-host Bob Schindler. We'll introduce him in just a moment. On today's episode, we're taking a look at Russell Wilson going to Pittsburgh, but also we'll consider other quarterbacks who have had revival in their career, where they went to a new location and their career was revived, rejuvenated, restored. And so how does that translate to our own lives? And what does it mean where we get to a place of needing to be revived? And then what are some of those steps that we can take to experience true revival in Christ, with Christ, and as we repent and turn to Him? So a lot to get to. We'll have some fun with Bob. Thanks to everybody watching on YouTube and social media, Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn. Great to have you with us. You can go to unpackingit.com. While you're there, be sure to subscribe to our devotional. We send it out Monday, Wednesday, Friday. And you can also email me, Bryce@unpackingit.com. All right, so today's guest is Bob Schindler. He is the COO of Seed Sports. They come alongside sports chaplains and sports rec and fitness leaders in local churches to provide strategic insight, focused vision, clarity of next steps, and mobilization into effective action. Check out seedsports.org. Bob is a former pastor, but he still teaches and speaks. He's the author of the book, Does God Care Who Wins? Go check it out on Amazon. Go order that book today. It's awesome. I highly endorse it. Does God Care Who Wins? Bob, it is great to have you here today. How are you?
Well, Bryce, I'm very glad to be here. And I'm doing really well today, but I'm excited to talk about this topic that we're going to be addressing on this idea of reviving a career as well as reviving our relationship with God. And so I think it's a great metaphor to study, both looking at what happens in the athletic realm as well as in the spiritual realm. So it'll be a good topic today to engage in.
Amen. Absolutely. Well, before we jump in, I've mentioned it here on the podcast before, but coming up in April is the Reach Gathering. And so I'm going to be there doing a breakout, talking about fantasy football fellowship and how local churches can utilize fantasy football as a ministry within their church. And so Bob, you're a big part of the Reach Gathering, and kind of let our listeners know, hey, who's invited, who should be there. And it's going to be in Charlotte, which is exciting as well.
Yeah. The Reach Gathering has been around since 2014, and it's designed specifically for sports rec and fitness leaders in local churches or those who help them. It's not only for churches in the United States, but we have maybe 25% of our people from out of the country. We held it every year in different locations in the country at local churches that are also involved in sports, rec, and fitness. And this year, it happens to be in Charlotte at Hopewell Baptist Church out in Monroe. And so we're very excited. It's a stimulating time. It's a time for leaders to connect who often feel very isolated in the realm of sports ministry. It's a place for them to be equipped, to be inspired, and to be affirmed. And so we love doing that. We love to be a part of just putting together what we call setting the table for God to work in the lives of those people as they do those things and connect with people like Unpacking It and how they could potentially use fantasy football fellowship or in just engage with the sports fans that are in their body. So it's a great time for those people to gather together, and we get a chance to serve them.
I'm looking forward to it. Excited about it. ReachGathering.org for more information. ReachGathering.org. So excited about that for sure. All right. So let's talk about, man, NFL free agency. It's been wild already. I mean, it's crazy to think all these running backs are switching teams. but we always talk about quarterbacks, right? That this is what shifts the league in a big way. And so Kirk Cousins goes to Atlanta. We'll see how that turns out. I'm a little questionable about that, maybe because I'm a Panthers fan. I don't like the Falcons, but we'll see what happens with Kirk. But the one intriguing story is this Russell Wilson move. He gets released in Denver. He signs with Pittsburgh. He takes the veteran minimum, which, you know, seems crazy. He's going to make $38-39 million from Denver to not play for them. And then he's, you know, makes a little over $1 million with Pittsburgh. And so what's interesting about Wilson is, you know, he's a 9-time Pro Bowler. He's a Super Bowl winner. So he has been a great quarterback in the NFL. Now, some people say, oh, it's all about the defense in Seattle. It's all about Marshawn Lynch. Yeah, sure. That was part of it. But he's a Super Bowl champion. And so in recent years, he's just struggled with consistency. And so last year he gets benched after the 7-8, you know, kind of start to the year that he had. And so the question becomes now, Bob, with Wilson going to Pittsburgh, he has this fresh opportunity. Will he be able to revive his career and restore his legacy? And so just kind of off the bat, do you think he will? Do you like this fit in Pittsburgh?
I think it's a great move for Russell Wilson. He's obviously a talented guy, or Denver wouldn't have invested the hundreds of millions of dollars they did in his 2-year career. But I think he needs a reset. I think there's several things that need to happen in his thinking for him to return to the style of and quality of play that he enjoyed at Seattle. And I think Mike Tomlin is the perfect place for him to go. I think he needs a coach who can actually coach him up and stand against what he probably was living out in Denver to some degree, because something went awry in Denver. There's no question about that. That was not the same Russell Wilson that was playing in Seattle for the years that he played.
That's exactly right. And so let's look at that. So what led to this need for him to revive his career? And so, you know, some of the articles that have come out, the conversations surrounding Russell Wilson, you know, I don't want to, you know, attack his character or whatever. He seems to love the Lord and you know, seems to be a great guy. But there were some concerns in Denver and even kind of toward the end of Seattle as well, to where, you know, it became a lot about Russell Wilson. There was some selfishness. There was sort of the prima donna and what he was requiring when he went to Denver. And I think he kind of had his own space or his own office or whatever. I don't know why NFL players have offices, but I guess to watch film or whatever. But he seemed to be sort of separated, right? Maybe a little bit of isolation, or, you know, this happens in all of sports. But once these guys can sort of get to that next level of stardom, they sort of pull back a little bit from kind of the rest of the team. And so it appeared that was the case in Denver.
Didn't he want his own quarterback coach or something like that too? Somebody was coming in off from the outside of the coaching staff to help him. Wasn't that a part of the dilemma too, I recall?
That's right. Yeah, I think there was just a number of things where he had demands and Denver allowed some of that.
Yeah.
But ultimately it didn't work, right? The whatever concessions they made to bring him in, it didn't help him out, didn't help the team out. And so it was two disappointing seasons, two different coaches, didn't work out. And then, you know, part of that was he just wasn't connecting with his teammates as well in Denver. And then I think there was a level of distraction that he was experiencing, kind of the celebrity life that he has. And so he was sort of living that. And we see him, you know, sitting courtside of games. And so how much of that was a distraction from his focus on football, which then leads to the question too. Was he as motivated as he once was? You know, he came into the NFL sort of as a under the radar, later draft pick, proven himself, even though he made an immediate impact as a rookie, but not sure he was as motivated in Denver. And then he got too many sacks. That's been a story of his career. I heard yesterday he's on pace to pass Tom Brady. And so Tom Brady's the leader in sacks, mainly because he played so long. So that's a concern too. So all of these factor into, where's Russell Wilson at? Where's his game at? And will this change in Pittsburgh?
Well, and it's obvious that the consensus was he's not the player that he was, and we're not sure we're really going to risk a lot of money to take the chance on that he can revive his career. Or you would have seen a much higher salary being paid to him, or many more teams lining up to attempt to trade for him or acquire him. So it's going to be a great story to watch to me, because I think Mike Tomlin has a reputation of being one of the best player coaches that there is out there, who understands the game and demands respect. He's not, because of his understanding of both people and the game, and has drawn lots out of a lot of players over the years that he's been there. So it'll be really fun to watch.
I think you're fair to bring up the concept of what was the market like for Russell Wilson. Were any other teams willing to pay more or willing to give him the starting job? I'm not sure about that. I don't know all that has come out in regards to that. But what I want to believe or want to consider is that Russell Wilson was willing to sacrifice, mm-hmm. where maybe he could have made a few extra million somewhere else, right? He could have gone to another team. He chose to, I'm going to go to Mike Tomlin. I'm going to go to Pittsburgh. I'm going to go to, it's a solid franchise. They were in the playoffs last year with very poor quarterback play. But I think I'm a huge Mike Tomlin guy. He was here in Charlotte a few years ago, had a chance to interview. I love this guy. He's awesome. But what he's done in Pittsburgh and the consistency and the type of coach he is, I think Russell Wilson, my guess is he looked across the league and go, all right, and goes, I'm willing to sacrifice. I want to go play for him. And so I think that makes a big difference. But also, the questions now become, will Russell Wilson submit to Tomlin?
Great question.
And the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Now, I would say, though, he has to know going in, Mike Tomlin is not a guy that you're going to manipulate to get him to do your way. That's not Mike Tomlin's reputation. Mike Tomlin is the commander of the Pittsburgh Steelers. And so, to me, Russell Wilson is acknowledging that by even going, that he needs somebody to help him reset. He needs somebody different than he's had the last 2 years. And I hope that's somebody, the people around him have said, Russell, you know, things aren't going well. You need a reset. You need somebody to really help you get back on track. And Mike Tomlin's the best guy out there. I mean, to me, like I said before, I can't imagine a better coach for a potential reset, a potential revival of his career than Mike Tomlin. And so by him going there, to me, he's automatically acknowledging, I need that. If I look at it from the outside, that I need somebody who is a commander. I don't need to be the center of everything again. I need to be back on a team where I'm not the center of the team, but Mike Tomlin is the center of the team.
That's right. And they run the ball and play defense in Pittsburgh. So that should be the right fit for him. And so a couple other questions to consider too. Okay, will Russell Wilson be able to reestablish himself as a top quarterback? And will he be able to play with a renewed passion? And also kind of in light of the humbling experience mm-hmm. that he had in Denver. There's no getting around it. That was a humbling experience. He was on top of the world. Man, look, Denver traded, you know, all these assets, draft picks, players to Seattle for Russell Wilson. Gave him the biggest contract that he wanted, you know, the big contract that he wanted. Well, he was humbled. He was humbled there because it didn't go according to plan. And then the other question is Wilson, you know, willing to honestly evaluate what went wrong and then make the necessary changes now that he goes to Pittsburgh and some of the things you've mentioned, Bob? And then also, will Tomlin be able to rejuvenate and reinvigorate? I like that word, reinvigorate his career as well. And then, you know, just factoring in too, will he embrace accountability? Because I think there was maybe a little bit of a lack of that in Denver. And then also, you know, a new locker room, a change of scenery, a new environment, who he's around, how will he connect with the Pittsburgh teammates as well. So all of that is you know, worth considering from a football standpoint. And before we jump into the life and faith parallel to this conversation, I just wanted to mention a few players over the years and any that come to mind for you, Bob, who actually have had a revival in their careers. And the one that comes to mind for me is Kurt Warner, because in remember he went to New York. He was awesome in St. Louis. Went to New York with the Giants. It did not go well. Eli ended up coming in, took his job, and it was like, all right, what's going on with Kurt Warner? He then goes to Arizona, revives his career, takes the Cardinals of all teams to the Super Bowl, and a really cool story. So there's, you know, that kind of trajectory, I guess you could potentially see with Russell Wilson. What about for you, any other names come to mind?
Let me ask you a question. First of all, who was the coach for Arizona for Kurt Warner?
Ken Whisenhunt.
That's an interesting combination. I wonder, have you ever read anything about their relationship or how that worked for him? What brought about that that renewal for Kurt Warner? Because I haven't. I'm just curious.
Yeah, that's a good question. Isn't Whisenhunt? I think he was with Pittsburgh, actually. I think he came from Pittsburgh. So there you go. There's the connection. I like that.
See, what's interesting to me is I'm guessing that Mike Tomlin is not a fool. I think that's a fair assumption. I don't think he went into this, you know, blind-eyed to what was. I'm sure he interviewed. I'm sure he spent some time talking to Russell to see if those questions that you were asking earlier are could be answered. Are you willing to come in and be accountable? Are you willing to come in and not be the center of the attention? Are you willing to take a secondary role and have a chance? So I think those are really. I think it's not only interesting to look at it from Russell's side, but it's interesting to look at it from Tomlin's side, because I'm sure he asked those questions. If you've met him, he seems like a very thorough, very wise man and so he's not going to go into this and just, well, let's just take an experiment. It's, you know, it's worth just throwing the dice. I mean, cause that can be really disruptive, and he's not going to let that happen unless he's pretty convinced that is a workable situation. So
yeah, he's a no nonsense guy. That's for sure.
Yeah.
I'll just throw out a couple names to have some fun today. So, Drew Brees, remember, it was like, oh man, what's his career going to look like? Goes down to New Orleans after the injury and revived his career there. Randall Cunningham, late in his career with the Minnesota Vikings. Michael Vick, of course, his whole story revives his career. Andy Reid played a huge role in that in Philly. Even Baker Mayfield. He was here in Charlotte. It was, man, are you kidding me? This guy stinks. He goes down to Tampa Bay. Well, he went to L.A. for a moment, had a big game, then goes to Tampa Bay, and Dave Canales sort of revives his career. One more name to throw in the mix is Mac Jones. I'm not sure he gets that opportunity in Jacksonville to revive his career, but you never know. If Trevor Lawrence gets hurt, maybe Mac Jones fits down in Jacksonville, but he was traded within the last week, so that's interesting too.
What's interesting to me about each of those that you just mentioned is, and we're going to go into this in the future, I mean, in this during this podcast, is how each of those had a strong coach, where the coach really had a significant influence on those players. If you talk about whether it's the ones that you mentioned, Michael Vick, you mentioned Andy Reid. We've talked about Kurt Warner. You mentioned who were some of the other guys.
Drew Brees, Sean Payton.
That's what I was thinking about when you went through that list. Those are all Hall of Fame or pretty high quality coaches. And Sean saw something in Drew that he was able then to draw out and build around that. And Drew was, again, willing to do that. Drew was a talented player. The question was whether he was going to be able to ever throw the ball like he used to because of a shoulder injury. That was the big issue. But then, again, they had a great partnership for a long time that was a coach and player deep revitalization for Drew.
Yeah, for some reason – Sean Payton and Russell Wilson, weren't on the same page.
But see that, they show that clip over and over again where Sean Payton's yelling at Russell on the sideline. And I don't have any idea what that was about.
No,
but true. It doesn't look like Russell's being real cooperative at that point. Something's going on that he's mad, and it's like he's getting a scolding for not cooperating with what he was supposed to be doing, which to me highlights what all the problems that we just talked about before, because Sean Payton, again, is a good coach. And if you're either going to cooperate with him or you're not. And if you're not, you're gone. And that's basically what happened. They ate $38 million for that little, okay, I can't work with this guy. He's gone. Right.
Yeah. Cause that image of Wilson walking to the bench, not really turning to his coach.
Yeah, he doesn't.
Not listening to Sean Payton really does capture the situation down there. And so will it be different in Pittsburgh? That's the question. Will he be able to revive his career in Pittsburgh? And so as we consider that And, you know, man, will that happen for him? How many of us today are longing for a revival in our own lives? And most importantly, a revival in our faith, in our relationship with the Lord. And maybe we look back at, you know, years past where there was this passion. There was, you know, we were experiencing winning, so to speak. But lately it's been losses. Maybe we've kind of turned our head and we're not really listening to God. We hear him maybe, or we've sort of tuned him out a little bit too. And we're kind of going that other direction. And so, you know, what aspects of our lives need to be revived and restored? And so that's worth evaluating today, and also considering, okay, what went wrong? What steps did I take to kind of get me into this place? And so as we parallel this to kind of the situation in Denver for Russell Wilson, okay, what kind of selfishness?
When did it become about me? When did it become more about me than about the people around me, about God, about my relationship with him? And it just became about me. And that's one of the subtle but very dangerous changes of perspective, isn't it? That takes a real hard introspection. You talked about evaluation. Is he willing to really evaluate? Are we really willing to evaluate? How are we really doing? How am I feeling in terms of my own relationship with God? What's my attitude about just engaging in his word? What's my attitude engaging with this other, with people of his, of the church? What's my attitude in just sharing him with other people around me? And if it's not revived, if it's not strong, if it's not living, am I willing to acknowledge that and say, what's happened? Mm. What's happened? That is not what it used to be. Not to condemn, not to say what a horrible person, anybody out there that's listening that's feeling that. It's more just acknowledging what is. We're not trying to, like you said earlier, we're not trying to condemn Russell Wilson or anybody that's feeling in need of revival. That's just, let's acknowledge that, because that's the kind of person God is most interested in reviving, is the person that acknowledges that.
Amen. Absolutely. So it's considering, okay, am I not connecting with teammates as well? Maybe I'm not letting people in to challenge or question maybe some of my recent behavior or thought processes or feelings and say, hey, what's going on? You're getting a little off track here. But if we're stiff-arming people and we're kind of isolating ourselves, then all of a sudden, we start drifting a little bit. And then same thing with distractions in life, right? We're caught up in the world and caught up in everything else. You know, we talked a couple weeks ago about getting consumed by the crowd. That can happen. And then, like Russell Wilson taking too many sacks, you know, what does that mean in our life, taking sacks? Mm. Maybe again, consumed by the world, consumed by sin, and we're taking the sacks, taking sacks, so to speak. And then also just not as motivated. We've lost our passion, our motivation to seek the Lord, to pursue the Lord, to grow, to become more like Jesus. Has some of that sort of, you know, waned a little bit? And so why is that? What's been going on?
Yeah, and who of us would not say that's not true at some point in our lives?
That's right.
I mean, I know I certainly can say that there are plenty of times that I've been waning in my passion. There's plenty of times that I haven't been motivated to worship, that I haven't been motivated to study, that I haven't been motivated to be with people, that it has become about me, that it is, that I am distracted. And I think, again, the beauty of God is that's the recognition of that is the very thing he's looking for. And I'm sure that's what Mike Tomlin was looking for. Russell, are you humble right now? Are you humble enough to listen? Are you still coming in with your proud rhetoric? And that's what God's looking for. Are you humble? And are we willing to just acknowledge, look, we are not in a good place, or we're not in the place we want to be. We're not passionate where we'd like to be. That's the kind of person that God wants to revive, that he's willing to revive, hungry to revive.
My way isn't working.
That's a great way to say it.
Are we willing to say that? How I've been living, how I've been acting, it's not working. And so just a couple other words that come to mind here. You know, revive, restore, recover, rescue, reestablish, revitalize, reinvigorate, rejuvenate, renew, awaken. And so if our faith seems, you know, stale or stagnant, or we're distant from the Lord, and we're maybe confused, we're lacking clarity, what we long for is that revitalization. And so then are we willing to take the steps of accountability, honest evaluation, like Bob's talking about, humility. And sometimes too, we need a new surrounding or a new perspective, a new environment. Maybe we've put ourselves in the wrong environment for too long and need that fresh start in that regard. So we have to, you know, consider that as well.
One of the things that we wanted to emphasize with regard to focusing on Mike Tomlin and the relationship of the coach to the player is that I think it's easy for us to misunderstand revival in our spiritual lives. We can put that on ourselves, and we're not saying Russell Wilson can revive his career. We're saying really Mike Tomlin can potentially revive Russell Wilson's career. And the parallel is we don't revive our own selves. We are revived by a God who loves to pour life into us. To revive is to live again, to be invigorated again. And one of the verses we were talking about is that in Isaiah 57:15, this is the way the Lord spoke through Isaiah. He said, "For thus says the high and exalted one, who lives forever, whose name is holy, I dwell in a highly and holy place, and also with the contrite and lowly in spirit, in order to revive the spirit of the lowly and to revive the heart of the contrite." And you notice, if you just think about that verse, the contrast between this high and holy God who dwells with the lowly and contrite. Why? To revive them. So what he's looking for, again, is this acknowledgement of our need for revival. And that's the gateway through which we get his reviving life pouring back into us. So I just love that the picture of that, this high God who comes down to the lowly and contrite to give him life. And we see that beautifully pictured in the person of Jesus Christ when he says, you know, "I didn't come to be served, but to serve. I came to lower myself to bring life to people."
Amen. Gosh, that's powerful. Wow, incredible. I love it. A couple other verses of encouragement as well, and we can unpack these more, Bob. Psalm 23:3 declares, "He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake." Isaiah 55:7, let the wicked one abandon his way and the sinful one his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord so he may have compassion on him, and to our God, for he will freely forgive.
Yeah, so I love that passage in both of those, but in Psalms 23, again, it says, "He restores my soul." I don't restore my own soul. Amen. I just come to him for that restoration. And so that's just a very important distinction that we're trying to make today, that our admission is the gateway for him to do the work that only he can do, and that's bring life to our weary souls.
Amen. And yeah, along those lines too, it's relying on the Holy Spirit within us. Mm-hmm. And so we have to turn to the Lord, and the Holy Spirit will do the work in us. It's not us just mustering up.
Exactly.
All right, I gotta light a spark in my prayer life or life. It's turning to the Lord and saying, and we could pray this prayer, Psalm 51:10, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right and steadfast spirit within me." And so we've got to ask God to ignite that in us. And let's see the other one. Psalm, I guess I already read this one, but yeah. So it's asking the Lord to refresh us, renew us. And are we, I was reading this morning, you think of a fire, are we throwing logs on the fire too? And it's getting in God's word. It's being still before him. It's being connected in fellowship with other people. That's going to ignite the spark.
And do that honestly. Lord, I'm here today. I'm not excited to be with these people. I'm not excited to be in your word, but would you please do that reviving work in my heart? I'm coming broken. I'm not coming proud. I'm coming humble. I need you to do that. And that to me is this idea of the atmosphere that fire gets most stirred up is that broken humility that comes from, I'm not going the right way. You mentioned that my way, the way I'm going is not a good way. So I'm going to turn from that way. I'm going to repent. I'm going to change my mind. That's what that literally means, to repent, to change my mind. I'm not going to do this anymore. I need your way. I need your revival. And I'm coming to you to do that, in that that kind of attitude.
Absolutely. And asking God for the passion for his word.
Right.
God, give me that heart of worship. I want to get back to the heart of worship and having that mentality and that spirit within me to say, God, help me to fix my eyes on you, to lift my eyes above my circumstances to you, to live a worshipful life. And because oftentimes when we're in need of revival, it's because of our lack of worship in our life,
right,
and our lack of acknowledgement of God's character and his goodness and his faithfulness, because it becomes all about us. And we become so self-centered.
You brought up that song, Heart of Worship.
That's right.
That's a Matt Redman worship song. And the song is about revival.
Mm.
He says, I'm coming back to the heart of worship.
Amen.
It's all about you. It's all about you. Mm. I'm sorry for the things I've made it, but it's all about you. See, so he's coming repentant, and he's coming asking God to revive his heart, to make it all about him again. So that's a beautiful, I'm glad you brought that up. It's a great song that was written by one of the great songwriters of our day, worship songwriters, who's acknowledging, I got distracted. Mm-hmm. I went away from the heart of worship. I went into more, it's all being about me and other things instead of about you.
Yes, and Psalm 51, 10 through 12, this is the New Living Translation. Create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew a loyal spirit within me. Do not banish me from your presence, and don't take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and make me willing to obey you. And I think the other part of this too is a willingness to obey.
Sure.
Right?
Sure.
That we lose, sometimes if we start drifting, we lose that willingness to obey and stiff arm God a little bit. Nah, I'm going to go do my own thing. And as we take the steps of obedience, it ignites that passion in us again, and we become, you know, walking down the right path
and
again.
You all know, Bryce, I know you know that psalm was written on the heels of his being confronted with David's sin with Bathsheba, and he writes that psalm 51 that you read those verses as a repentant call for revival. Renew a right spirit in me. That's what he's out of that brokenness of his own acknowledgement of sin. He's now calling out to God to bring about that revival that we've been speaking of today. So again, guys and ladies out there that are listening, if you're feeling in that place today, if you're feeling, I'm really not doing well, our God is a God that welcomes you, invites you, longs to have you come to him in that place, just like David did, so that he can revive and renew that spirit within you.
Amen. It's powerful. It's encouraging. And yes, revival is possible. And so to hit home the point one more time, it's turning our eyes to God to be the one that revives us. And so we can't muster it up on our own. And so we must turn to him and allow the Holy Spirit to work within us. But it's taking those steps of obedience. It's surrounding ourselves with the right people. It's being honest and evaluating. Okay, wait, where did I kind of go wrong? What's been going on? And then in humility, acknowledging that, repenting, and coming before the Lord and say, restore, revive, and ask him to do it, and he will. Rejuvenate. So some powerful words, and you know, maybe even pick the one that maybe jumps out to you. Reestablish, recover, rescue, reinvigorate, renew, and we got to renew our minds. We've talked about that the last couple of weeks too. Always important from Romans 12, the renewal of our mind. That's key in this whole process as well. You mentioned that with Russell Wilson. He's got to think differently. He's got to go with a new mindset to Pittsburgh. So we need that new mindset as well.
And one thing he can't go with is a blaming attitude.
Mm.
He can't blame the coaches. He can't blame Sean Payton. He can't blame the previous coach before him. He can't blame the Denver situation. He's got to own his own place in the failure. So one of the things that we can't do is blame others if we're not doing well. We got to own that we have a role and we're the ones responsible for what's happened in our own hearts. Doesn't mean that there aren't things, bad things going on around us that are not not our responsibility, but the way we respond to those are. And so to me, this is a big piece of that when you're talking about evaluation is saying, okay, what did I contribute to that? And I'm not shifting the blame to somebody else.
It's so important, and I'm guilty of it. I think I was blaming my wife last night for something. So so that's
you must have been listening to my phone calls.
That's right. And that's the other part of this conversation too. Sometimes we need revival in our marriage and other relationships, and start with if you experience revival with the Lord, that will you'll experience fruit in other relationships in your life as well. But the one verse to mention too, Lamentations 3:40. Let us test and examine our ways and return to the Lord. And so, each of us can go through that process of seeking the Lord and asking him to reveal things in us and okay, what are the areas that need revival? And then Lord, you do it, you restore, you rejuvenate. So that's our prayer today. I hope that this is encouraging for all of us. And Bob, really appreciate you joining me today in studio. Fun to have you and just a great conversation. And appreciate your insight today. Any final thoughts?
No, just thanks for having me. And please know that I'm sure Bryce would be glad to hear your prayers for revival. If that's something going on in your life right now and you really need that, I'm sure he mentioned where you could email him. He'd gladly love to pray with you about that. So please let him know.
Absolutely. Bryce@unpackingit.com. And glad you mentioned that. So for Bob, I'm Bryce. I'm a sports fan who follows Jesus. I believe in the good news that he died on the cross for my sin. He was resurrected, and through faith, I've been saved by his grace. I hope that is true for you as well, and I hope you'll join me as we live life as sports fans who follow Jesus together. Thanks so much for listening. We appreciate when you share, when you rate, when you review, when you like. Follow us and let other people know about Unpacking It. Thanks to all of our donors and supporters. If you'd like to support our ministry, you can do so by going to unpackingit.com/donate. Have a great rest of your day, and we will talk to you next time right here on the Unpacking It podcast.